south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know what I've discovered, or at least I've been investigating? Maybe I'm slow to pick up on things. I've discovered over the last few years there's a quick and easy way for Latinos to get permanent residency in the States legally, even though it's a scam and immigration officials in the States know about it. They can't do a thing because it's written into law. I mean, look, practically every Latino I meet, unless he or she's very highly educated, then they know better. Every other Latino would just love to live in the first world. Latinos you meet down here are just baffled as to why so many educated gringos want to get the hell out of the first world, get the hell out of Dodge, have a plan B down here in Latin America. The locals, except for the very educated ones, they don't get it, they never will, they just have a fantasy version of what it's like living up in the States. But that's the subject for another rant. We're not talking about that right now. What we're talking about now is something that's going on all the time, right under our noses. A steady mass influx of single Latinos moving to the States, legally, completely on the surface, but fraudulent. When you scratch a little deeper through the facade, and I'm telling you, it's a lot cheaper than hiring a coyote in Mexico to slip you through, infinitely less dangerous, too. And after all the paperwork's accomplished, you'll be legal in the States forever. The fact is, there are websites in every Latin American country, websites you and I have never seen and didn't even know about. In Spanish, of course, that'll hook you up with a Latino already living in the States who's got his residency or is a naturalized citizen, with the one purpose, the only purpose, to arrange a marriage so that the party living in Central or South America can automatically get their permanent residency and visa in the States. And man, you wouldn't believe how popular this service is. I've met three Latinos in the last week who have family members going through that right now. Now, in reality, we all know that kind of stuff's been going on for ages, right? But in the last 3 or 4 years, it's just exploded. Of course, it only applies to single Latinos and Latinas, all for the low, low cost of between $2,000 and about $4,000. That's half the price of using a coyote, and you know how dangerous that is. So again, there are thousands and thousands of Latinos up in the States with their residency and even citizens who will marry you, no matter how many tattoos, face piercings, or missing teeth you have. You don't have to speak a word of English either, as long as you've got the dough. By the way, those U.S. residents and citizens on that list who offer themselves up to get married for dough, their names never appear on those websites. You don't find out till you fork out your money. That would be counterproductive because then immigration authorities could go to that website and see who's looking for one of those financial hookups, known as marriage for visa scams. Instead, when you go to those websites, they're run by intermediaries. Latino guys and gals in the States, bilingual, of course, who have an ongoing secret list of people who will exchange money for marriage. By the way, the reason why I'm mentioning this right now is because just recently I sat down with two 30-something Latinas, both who have close family members, brothers and sisters, who are going through that process right now. And one of those ladies who works at a phone company down here, she told me one of her coworkers, a lady, her friend, knows a Latino guy in Canada who's got his residency, who offered to marry her or any of her friends for some dough. So, needless to say, I hit those two ladies up with a lot of questions about that scam. For one thing, I wanted to know the gender mix. How many ladies versus men are dishing out dough to get married for residency? Oh, and don't think immigration officials aren't wise to it. That's been going on for 100 years. But it's only now, in the last 5 years, in the advent of WhatsApp, no less, where people can communicate internationally for free. That was the thing that really turbocharged these residency marriage scams. But you know, in cases where American citizens marry a foreigner, well, as it turns out, just filling out all the multiple forms and paperwork correctly is not enough. Because immigration knows damn well it's a lucrative business. They insist on a personal interview process. They're trying to weed out those marriages of convenience. But you know, those intermediaries you find on the internet that hook up people, they know all the tricks. And when you contract them and pay your fee, usually you pay half up front. They train you up, tell you what to say and do at the interview, and help you with all the forms. In fact, you could download them on the site. In fact, I'm looking at one of these marriage hookup sites right now, where the title page headline in Spanish says, I'll translate here, quote, how to prepare for your marriage green card interview. And it says right here, the whole key to making this thing not look like fraud is to have a number of long, what's up conversations with your prospective mate. They suggest right off long, deep conversations to get to know your partner in crime. The website says there will be trick questions in the interview. Many personal questions, and you'll have to have believable answers. Oh, and here's what you didn't know, and I didn't know this either until these ladies told me. Through those internet sites, there's a regular marriage mill going on. In fact, those Latino American citizens and Latinos with American green cards working that marriage for money for a residency scam will marry different ladies every 5 years. They'd marry more ladies many more times, but that's the U.S. immigration rule. In other words, if you're a divorced person, you can't get your next foreign wife or husband residency unless 5 years has lapsed since your last divorce. So that means if you're in the marriage for money for residency game, you could marry a person, get him or her U.S. residency, then divorce him right away, then wait 5 more years, and repeat that process with another person. Guess what? It's totally legal, and there's nothing immigration can do about it. Oh, and did you know if a Latino or Latina gets their green card through marriage to someone up in the States, they could divorce the guy right away too and do exactly the same thing. But again, there's a 5-year wait. Man, I'm telling you, it's big business. For one thing, it's half as cheap as a coyote, and it's a sure thing. Still a scam, but infinitely safer. No fear of robberies, rape, or dying of thirst on the way. By the way, once the person living in the States starts the process, the other person, the foreigner living outside the States, gets a temporary visa to come visit. Oh, and it turns out about 80% of the people down here in Latin America who are using these sites are ladies. There are lots more men up in the States willing to marry someone for dough. Most of the guys are senior citizens. How about that? Those Latinas I've talked to said their family members who are going through that process are both ladies, and they're both getting married to really old Latino guys, guys in their 60s and 70s. By the way, those are guys who've been Americanized, have passports, or got legal residency, living in the States a long, long time, yet barely speak English. There's a lot of that going around. And the young Latinas who are buying into that, they only know about 20 words of English themselves. Doesn't matter, though, because they're intermediary. Helps them with all the necessary forms and requirements. And, of course, all the U.S. immigration stuff's bilingual now. In the States, you don't have to know English at all to qualify for any of the government services. Isn't that nice? Exactly opposite of down here in Latin America, where none of the government offices have dual language paperwork. Anyway, regarding this U.S. residency by marriage stuff, here are some of the government regs. The husband, and you know 80% of the time, it's the husband who's an American citizen or has his residency. He has to prove that he can support his new young wife at 125% of the federal poverty level. Even that requirement has a loophole or two. Let's say the old guy in it, usually an old guy, doesn't meet the income requirements. Well, all's not lost. He could ask a friend or relative to be a contributing sponsor. So then you might be wondering just how much money the sponsor, that'd be the person in the States with a green card or citizenship, make off this deal. Well, my two Latina sources tell me it's a 50-50 split. The intermediary guy gets 50% and the guy who's marrying the girl or whatever gets the other half. By the way, there's also a huge uptick in gay Latin Americans getting on the green card residency fast track through gay intermediary sites where they hook up Latino gay guys up in the States who've got their residency or nationality with generally much older gay guys up in the States. It's the same thing. It's older gay guys up in the States marrying young gay guys here in Latin America online for residency. But in that case, it's a bit more complicated. You see, a gay friend down here told me, there are internet gay hookup sites for marriage where you don't pay a thing. It's just more or less an older gay guy looking for a permanent partner through marriage on one of those sites. It's not about the money. It's a companionship thing. My friend said, if you get on one of those sites, and he's done this, he said. Within the first day, he said he got at least a dozen marriage proposals from older gay guys up in the States. Well, I have to admit my gay friend's a rather classy and handsome guy. I suppose that helps a lot, but it is a whole new twist on the game because in the States, gay marriage is legal. So if an American gay guy marries a foreigner, they've got just as much right to get him a green card and residency as everyone else. The thing is, my Latina lady sources here telling me all this stuff, They say it's almost impossible for a non-English speaking Latino or Latina down here in Latin America to do it without an intermediary or broker who does this kind of thing all the time. There's those 6 or 7 forms to fill out and the interview process, which is pretty tricky. There's U.S. immigration form I-30. It's called Petition for an Alien Relative, obviously the foreign marriage partner. And there's form I-864 called the Affidavit of Alien Support. Then there's form I-30A called Supplemental Information for Alien Spousal Beneficiary. And the DS-260 called Application for an Immigrant Visa. And then there's document I-131, which is called Application for Travel Document. That's a must if you're applying for a marriage-based green card from inside the U.S. That document allows the applicant to travel outside the U.S. while the application is pending without voiding the original application process. By the way, it takes about 18 months after the applications are filled out to get your final visa. Oh, and this might crack you up. You can go on the internet and find out exactly what kind of questions you're going to be asked at that immigration quiz. Your middleman or broker will train you up with a cheat sheet. After all, it's the job of the government interviewer to try to determine if the marriage is based on false pretenses or not. That's where the trick questions will come in. For example, they'll separate the couples and ask them these questions individually. Like, do you use contraception? And if so, what kind? Or, does your spouse have tattoos or birthmarks? And where are they? And what do they look like? Even questions with a 50-50 answer, like, for example, who sleeps on which side of the bed? Other questions include, how did you meet? Where did your first date take place? When and where was your marriage proposal? What was the main dish at your wedding? What medications does your spouse take? When's your spouse's birthday? What are the names of your spouse's brothers and sisters? The name of your spouse's best friend? Etc., etc. A lot of those can be trick questions, but it doesn't matter because your intermediary will give you an extensive list to go over with your fake spouse. That's why he gets 50% of that $3,000 to $5,000. So, bottom line, if any single adult Latin American wants to get a permanent green card leading to naturalization and citizenship, all they have to do is come up with $3,000 to $5,000 and they can get married off to a citizen or green card holder up in the States who's in it for the money. Someone who can hold up his or her end of the lie for at least 18 months till residency is granted. So then what about hanky-panky when you finally have to end up living with the other person for a while? Who knows? I'm waiting to hear some of those stories. Anyway, turns out in Europe they've got the same kind of websites with intermediaries hooking up people with European residency and nationality with foreigners looking to get their residency legally. In fact, one Latina told me her cousin, a Latina in Panama, got on one of those sites, got hooked up with a 60-something decrepit old-timer who drives a cab in Madrid. She flew to Spain on a 90-day tourist visa just to have some photos taken with the guy to put online to prove in her interview that they've been together. She flew back home to Panama and says in 1 year she'll be flying back because the only requirement there in Spain to get your permanent visa is to cohabitate with a Spanish citizen for 1 year or more. You don't even have to be married. You just sign a form saying you're cohabitating. So, in other words, the intermediary fixed it so that her passport shows she's been in a relationship with this guy for a year. Anyway, now with Europe's huge immigration problem, there's a whole underground legal EU residency movement happening right now in Spain. You don't even have to be legally married. You just have to prove you've been a conjugal partner with that person for a year or more and be able to prove you have the dough to support the other person. It's a big loophole that thousands and thousands of people are rushing through. And of course, once you get that Spain residency visa, you're allowed to live and work in any EU country. I think there's something like 27 Schengen countries now. Anyway, just something I thought you ought to know. Kind of scary, huh? You know, a question that comes up all the time is where do people get that $3,000 to $5,000 to do it? Well, same way hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Latinos get the dough, the $5,000 to $10,000 it takes these days to pay coyotes to slip into the States and Canada. They take out loans from family members and local loan sharks. And there's also that guy in every little town, that intermediary coyote go-to guy, who arranges the deal and gets your relatives and friends to sign the promissory note for the payback over a certain period of time. And believe me, families and friends do pay it back, or else. Those coyote organizations have no sense of humor about people who get behind on their payments. All right, now something completely awesome. You longtime listeners know I've always hated the word awesome. I call it the A word. I never use it. And you know, I'm old school, and certain popular words never rub me the right way. Like, for example, the word groovy. I never used that either. However, I know some boomers who still use it, but not as it was intended. They use it sarcastically. They use it like a cliche to mock things. Groovy is ungroovy. But thank God, anyway, the A word, the awesome word, is slipping out of the lexicon slowly but surely. Which brings me to another terribly overused word that absolutely, like, drives me like nuts. Don't you, like, hate like people who, like, say like all the time? Man, I can't wait for the word like to be eliminated as an adjective. Hey, I got it. Why not make it the standard adolescent and 20-something pronoun for idiots and fools? What's your pronoun, man? Like, wow, like yours truly? You're asking me what's my, like, pronoun? Yeah, you get it, I know. So then if the word like is the American massively overused filler word, then what do young Latins use instead of like? Because obviously it's an English word. Well, it's true, Latinos have their overused filler words too. Do you know what they are? When you start speaking Spanish well enough to understand what people are saying, you will notice there are certain phrases and words that are used over and over again. Filler words. They don't mean dick, but neither do the words awesome or like. Or for all you Canadians out there, the word A. A? That is a word, right? Up in Canada, I mean. It's the truncated form of hey without the H. So then what are the Latino filler words you're going to hear all the time? Our first one is actually two words. Haber. That's A. V-E-R, haber, which means, in English, let's see. Actually, it's a little phrase to fill empty spaces, a pause filler. Because you know how some people can't stand a pregnant pause, they have to fill it with something. Oftentimes, it's haber, let's see. But that's not the only frequent Spanish language pause filler. Another word you'll hear over and over again is bueno, which means good, right? Bueno. But when filling a pause, it doesn't mean good. It means well, or so. In fact, many Spanish speakers, when you ask them a question, they'll start out the answer with a bueno when they're trying to think of an answer, and they haven't quite got it formulated yet. Like, for example, suppose you go to a mechanic and you say, where can you buy Mobile One oil? Well, he'll pause for just a second and say, bueno, trying to give himself time to think. By the way, he probably doesn't know where to buy any, but he'll give you an answer anyway, because Latinos are like that. You ever try pulling over your car and asking a Latino on the street directions to a place? They'll always have an answer, and most times it'll be wrong. But they don't want to disappoint or act stupid. They aim to please. All right, the next Spanish filler word, and you'll hear this all the time. It's entonces. Entonces, which means so. It's a filler word that gives you time to think. Another short phrase you'll hear repeated all the time is es decir. Es decir, which means that is to say, people use it as a filler to clarify or restate something. Like, for example, if a person says in Spanish, I'm going home right away. Voy a ir mi casa ahorita. And if they have more to say, they'll say, es decir después una cerveza. That is to say, after I have a beer. And then there's the phrase, esque, esque, which means, it's just that. Often you'll hear paragraphs just peppered with the phrase esque when someone's trying to explain something in more detail. And oftentimes when you hear that phrase esque, it's going to be followed by some kind of excuse. Like, for example, if a boss says, why didn't you finish your job? The guy will start his answer with esque. It's just that. And then come the 101 excuses. Another heavily used filler word in Spanish is mira, which means look. You know how someone will say, look, I got something to say to you. Or look, I'm not driving today. In Spanish, the word mira is used the same way. When someone uses it, you know some sort of definitive statement's going to follow, something to set the record straight. By the way, when you're driving around Latin America, especially out in the boonies, often there'll be a very scenic lookout spot with a sign on the road that says mirador. It's part of the same word, mira, mirador. As mentioned, mira means look. Mirador means lookout. So when you see a sign that says mirador, 1 kilometer ahead, that means there's a scenic lookout ahead. You should pull over and have a look. It's probably something pretty spectacular. Now, in English, you know, lots of people, when they're giving multiple explanations, they'll say, in other words, so-and-so, right? Well, in the Spanish language, they do that too. And the phrase for, in other words, is o sea. O sea. It's a phrase, two words, o sea. The letter O and the word sea, S-E-A. And one of my favorite filler words in Spanish is pues, or pues sí. P-U-E-S, or two words, P-U-E-S-S-I, pues sí. It's the equivalent of the English filler word, well, it sort of indicates a general moment of indecisiveness. Again, it gives a person a moment to gather his thoughts. And of course, there's that filler word in lots of Hollywood movies depicting Latinos and Mexicans. Sabe, or sabes, which directly translates to, you know. However, you can always tell if a person in that Hollywood movie doesn't know a lick of Spanish. He's just saying it because it's in the script. Because they won't say sabes or sabes que, which means you know what? They'll say something like yes, savvy or savvy. That's because there's a B in the word, S-A-B-E. However, in Spanish, a B is pronounced like a V. So only a gringo without a lick of Spanish will pronounce it with a B sound instead of a V sound. Savvy. In fact, I was watching a movie not so long ago where Johnny Depp pronounced it savvy. Sounded like such a, well, clueless, knucklehead gringo. Though maybe that was the intention, who knows? So then what about our most common English guttural phrases like or mm, that we use all the time in between sentences? You know those and aha noises we all use when we're listening to someone else speak, giving them the impression we're actually listening to them? Meanwhile, we're not. We're just thinking about what we're going to say next, right? Well, Latinos do use the word if that's a word, but not as much as they use the word este, which means or mm in Spanish. They'll say while they're thinking, este. However, if you asked me the most common filler word I hear in the Spanish language, I have to go with, and you might think this odd, okay. Yep, it's caught on like wildfire, not only down here in Latin America, but across the world. Okay? And its use is sort of new, too. I remember 10, 15 years ago, hardly anyone said okay down here. But now everyone's saying it. I'm sure it has to do with Hollywood and the movies and the internet and Netflix. So the word okay, it's really big down here. Rivaling the word vale, that's V-A-L-E, vale, which is the Spanish version of okay or right. You know how English speakers say right, right. Latinos will say vale, vale. Except not so much in Central America, but in Spain and South America, vale is the word. So when in Central America, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, Honduras, Nicaragua, it'll be okay. You won't hear the word vale much, but when you do hear it, you'll know it's most likely coming out of the mouth of a Spanish person from Spain or South American person, Argentina, Venezuela, Colombia, because down south of the equator, they pepper their phrases with vale. Again, the word vale, V-A-L-E, means okay or right. When speaking of the word right as a filler word or a response when someone else is talking to let them know you're paying attention. Right, yeah, right. Latinos, especially the older 50 crowd of Latinos, they'll use the Spanish word for right, which is verdad, right, verdad. V-E-R-D-A-D, verdad. And in saying all that about Latino filler words, I recall famous last words of expat Eddie. He said a long, long time ago when he was a fresh, young, green gringo, trying not to look like the only clueless gringo in the group who knew no Spanish, to avoid that embarrassment when he was with pure Spanish speakers. He forced himself to learn a few key Spanish filler words so that when he was in the midst of a bunch of Spanish speakers whose words he did not understand at all, he could at least appear to them as if he could follow the conversation, not looking like an idiot fool that he was. So, expat Eddie in those early days told me he learned a few choice filler words, one being claro, just like the famous Latin American telephone and internet company, claro, C-A-L-R-O, which means in English, it's clear to me, along with the filler word verdad, which means right, and the word vale, which means okay. So, Eddie said in the early days, with just those three words, he could fool Spanish speakers into thinking he knew what they were talking about. That is, as long as they weren't directly talking to him. If they were talking amongst each other and they'd look at Eddie for confirmation, he'd just nod a bit, say the word verdad, wait a while, and when they looked at him again, say the word vale, let him go back to talking, and when someone looked his way again, he'd say, claro, which means it's clear to me. He said for the first few years until his Spanish kicked in, it worked like a charm. people who he'd run into at parties and such that he'd tried it on, thought of him as a thoughtful, introspective gringo who didn't say much but was a great listener. Well, one out of four ain't bad. They got the didn't say much part right anyway. Enough said about that. And finally, you know, the woke brain virus doesn't just exist in the US or Canada or Australia. It also exists in a big way in Europe and in England, too. And on that note, there was a very recent London Times article called An Obituary for Common Sense. I'd like to thank Jen for sending this to me. It's short. Let me read it to you. Today, we mourn the passing of a beloved old friend, Common Sense, who's been with us for many years. No one knows for sure how old he was since his birth records were long ago lost in bureaucratic red tape. He'll be remembered as having cultivated such valuable lessons as, 1, knowing when to come in out of the rain. 2, why the early bird gets the worm. 3, why life isn't always fair. And 4, why maybe it was my fault. So, our dead friend, Common Sense, lived by simple, sound financial policies like don't spend more than you can earn, and reliable strategies like adults, not children, are in charge of the world. Our old friend, Common Sense, health began to deteriorate rapidly when well-intentioned but overbearing regulations were set in place, like reports of a 6-year-old boy charged with sexual harassment for kissing a classmate, like teachers fired for reprimanding unruly students, like when parents attacked teachers for doing the job that they themselves had failed to do in disciplining their own unruly children. Common Sense took a further hit when schools were required to get parental consent to administer suntan lotion or aspirins to students, but would not inform parents when students became pregnant or wanted to have an abortion. Common Sense died when churches became businesses and criminals received better treatment than their victims. Common Sense died when you couldn't defend yourself from a burglar in your home, but the burglar could sue you for assault. Then it says Common Sense was preceded in death by his immediate family, namely truth, trust, discretion, responsibility, and reason. Though Common Sense is survived by his errant stepbrothers, namely, I know my rights, I want it now, someone else is to blame, I'm a victim, and please pay me for doing nothing. Then it says, finally, not many attended Common Sense's funeral because so few realized he was gone. And if you still remember him, pass this on. If not, join the majority and do nothing.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.